I, you know, we're going to talk anyway. You might as well make it a podcast.
I just keep talking. Right. You, when you call me, you can just turn it on because I can't stop talking. I drink Cokes at 8 o'clock at night. I do like the Ultimate Warrior. You know, he said, take the two pilots, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I go to train and go, take the two Cokes.
Pour it down my throat.
Because I start acting.
Send the Coke cans into a tailspin.
They've already made their sacrifice. You know. I really did that. She's like, what do you want to drink tonight? I was like, take the two Cokes.
Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice.
That ought to be. Well, I'll just bring back that promo for the promo of the week.
It's the best.
We'll just disable the warrior. Just take the two pilots.
Take the two pilots.
Take the two Cokes.
Take the two pilots.
Oh,
oh man.
It's a pro wrestling cast, and we're having fun talking about the Ultimate Warrior. But when we're not talking about the Ultimate Warrior, we are talking about the rest of the world of professional wrestling. Before we get into the show, let's talk about this. ProWrestlingCast.com is the website. Bookmark it, because then you can help the show out by shopping on our links. Amazon, High Spots, WWE Shop, WWE Network, and so much more there. Let's first start about the Amazon link, because there's stuff that you shop for every single day. Just yesterday, I ended up buying a bunch of ink for my printer that I use quite a bit. And, you know, it's like paying myself, and you can help pay us. So go ahead and do that. If you got stuff for your office, you need stuff for the kids, you want to go ahead and buy your WWE licensed merchandise, action figures, and replica belts. You can do that all through our Amazon link, and we'd appreciate it. It doesn't cost you any more. It just simply helps us keep the show on the air for free, as we do every single week. And Amazon thankfully kicks a few dollars back in terms of a little bit of a commission. So once again, it's very simple. ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, we have tons of WWE Network specials. We were talking just over text about how funny Cody Rhodes, aka Stardust, was.
Oh, wow.
Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness. And awesome. I have to agree, that whole situation where Cody Rhodes, they had him tied up there with a little light bulb swinging and everything. He was channeling his inner Joker, his inner Mark Hamill, for that. And I really appreciate that. And Edge and Christian, some people don't like him, some people like him. I like him. I find them very entertaining. So
I think the show's been surprisingly awesome. The second one I didn't like, but they're above 50% on their show with me. The last one's great with him, with Rhodes and Boogeyman.
Oh, Boogeyman was great. The whole March Madness bracket. Well, here's the thing. You won't know what we're talking about until you make the jump to the WWE Network for $9.99.
If you just get it.
Just go ahead and get it. That's like what we do. Sign up, get WWE Roadblock Special that we're going to talk about, as well as WrestleMania, for free if you go ahead and sign up now. And it's a monthly commitment, and you can cancel at any time at WWE Network. They are using our link. Yes, our link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Last but not least, High Spots. You know, not only is High Spots a great place for you to check out independent wrestling shoot videos and classic wrestling shoot videos and interviews, it's also a great place to pick up some great gear and the monthly wrestling box. So go ahead and click our link for High Spots for that. So now, let's continue with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Yeah! Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of news and commentary brought to you by two smart marks. My name is Al John Go, podcaster, broadcaster, Asian persuasion, joined by the man with a lead-lined glove of injustice, the wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
I've been offered a five-year contract by New Japan and WWE. I'm just deciding which one to sign to be a podcaster for them, that is.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Everybody needs a good podcaster, including New Japan. Right now, the WWE continues its talent raid on other promotions, namely New Japan, trying to get all the workers they possibly can locked up. And here's the thing. I'm concerned about that, and we can talk about that here momentarily. There's talk of a Wrestling Hall of Fame. There's talk about all this. Let's go ahead and play the stupid sound effects for the wrestling headline news.
This week in wrestling news.
Wrestling news.
Let's first of all, we're going to talk just really briefly, because this is going to be our promo at the end of the show. A very unique promo for a wrestler who's had a very, very great life, full of great matches. Stephen Anthony, we're talking about Hayabusa.
Hayabusa, I was such a big fan of his. Back in 98, 99, 2000, when I discovered FMW and realized that Paul Heyman had just watched this FMW promotion in Japan and brought it to Philly to make ECW. And Hayabusa was after at Tsuchi Onita, who was their main eventer for years and had huge fucking sellout Kawasaki Stadium matches with the likes of Mr. Pogo and Terry Funk. After him, he passed the mantle to Hayabusa. Excuse me. And Hayabusa was one of the most impressive high flyers, especially of the late 90s. He had an assortment of aerial maneuvers, and he was also a very hardcore wrestler. And essentially, once Onita left, Hayabusa carried the promotion on his shoulders. He had great feuds with, Mr. Gamasuki. He had a very, very intense feud with him when he lost his mask. He had a really cool mask. That's one thing I can say about him.
Yes.
And, it's just really sad what happened. He eventually ended up paralyzed in 2001.
From a lion salt, was it?
Yeah, he did a lion salt. His foot slipped on the ropes and he landed directly on his head. He broke two vertebrae. He almost died in the ring. There is a clip of it on YouTube. I do not suggest you watch it. It's very upsetting, so there's no reason to really watch that. But it is there, and he was basically a paraplegic for life. After that, he became a nightclub singer for some time, and I saw him do some shoot interviews, and he's a very interesting person. And he still wears his mask, even in the shoot interviews and even singing nightclub. And had the one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen was this. I think it was August 5th at Currican Hall, and that is where it was. I just saw it. It was in Currican Hall, and basically, Hayabusa Ishiyazaki walked to the ring. He stood up from his wheelchair, walked all the way to the ring. He had a little help getting through the ring ropes and delivered a beautiful speech. And that will be our lasting memory of him. That will be what I remember about Hayabusa. You know, he had some great matches with the likes of Terry Funk, Mr. Pogo. He had some really good feud and matches over the FMW title with Mike Awesome. But I'll always remember for the rest of my life this beautiful moment where he stood up from his wheelchair and walked into the ring. You know, that's the kind of thing that really keeps me watching. Mm-hmm. And I'll never – that's the thing that will always keep me watching.
Well, for those of you that are new to the show, we actually talked about the Super J Cup and how New Japan is bringing it back. And – Hayabusa was definitely part of that in the early 90s.
Part of that movement, right.
Part of that whole Super J Cup movement and that tournament of high flyers, adopting a lot of that wrestling style from his excursion into to Mexico.
Right.
Where he was wrestling Lucha Libre style and bringing that to prominence in Japan, quite frankly. And as you said, going into ECW, and that's really cool. I think you had a couple marquee matches you wanted to bring up too, if that's
Well, the main one that everyone can watch right now if they have the network is he does a match with Jinsei Shinzaki versus Rob Van Dam and Sabu. Now, I just wanted to say this because I hear a lot of people bringing up this match. This is not a very good match. It's kind of a typical Sabu slob fest kind of match, but it is in the United States. He has a really great match. It's him and Masato Tanaka against Mr. Pogo and Terry Funk.
Yes.
Things get messy. And his FMW match with Mike Awesome is actually really well wrestled, very strong style. A lot of aerial maneuver, a lot of this and that. Great, great feud. And anything involving the feud, especially the angles with Mr. Ganosuke, is very powerful imagery. He loses his mask and he becomes eventually a wrestler named E. And E is sort of Hayabusa turning into a Japanese FMW version of The Rock. And those are the moments that stick out with me. But nothing beats the wheelchair thing, dude. I mean, it's unbelievably emotional.
Well, that will actually wrap up our show. He does cut a promo in Japanese, so kudos to all of our Japanese fans. But I think the tribute to this particular talent, to Hayabusa, and a tribute to all the wrestling fans worldwide, especially the Japanese wrestling fans, and how much his legacy meant to them, to see a man who suffered and paid the price in the ring, ultimately coming back to the ring, the place he called home, and to walk unassisted to the ring where his peers and other legends and the entire audience was basically with him, cheering him on step by step, was definitely quite emotional. It's definitely something you need to look up for sure. We had recorded last week's Pro Wrestling Cast already when we had gotten the news about Hayabusa's passing. And so we wanted to make sure we started out this show by at least acknowledging his contributions to the world of wrestling. So our hats off and a 10 bell count, and our hats off to Hayabusa. Now, having said that, let's talk about other legendary wrestlers in the Wrestling Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame, to be exact. Before we talk about the groundbreaking news, let's talk about the inductees since the last time we had spoken. They had just recently announced that Big Bubba, also known as the Big Boss Man in WWF, the Boss Man, is actually being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. I like this. It makes sense.
Okay. Are you a Big Boss Man, Mark?
I actually like the Big Boss Man. I think he was a really good, I mean, for me, he was a great character. And he came up in the... He came up in the time that I really enjoyed wrestling from the very beginning. Big Bubba Rogers in WCW, Big Boss Man. It was a character that was very intimidating to me as a child growing up. And then as he moved in from WCW to WWE, he actually transitioned very well from being that policeman guard, that prison guard, to being a guy that wore the tactical vest first, you know, to being a really good heel, I thought, especially against the Big Show, and in a very interesting angle where he actually brought in a little bit of reality shoot style into, I guess, pipe bomb, you know.
It was a pipe bomb. You know, that is actually how Big Boss Man's, I'm sorry, that's actually how the Big Show's father's funeral happened. They just recreated it full on with Paul White riding a casket like a surfboard through a cemetery. Yeah, that didn't really happen. That didn't happen.
No, of course. But what was interesting?
Big Show is obviously upset. You know, this, I got to say something. You didn't brought up something I never thought of, but Big Show is so emotional about it, seeing his dad's picture, right?
Yeah.
And to think they made him do that angle.
I know.
Jesus.
I know.
A surfboard coffin?
I know. I think about it all the time. It's one of the most interesting, infamous moments in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
Well, he got the belt out of that, if you think about it, because he came in with, and he kind of, they went back and forth. They didn't know what to do with him. This is still long hair Paul White, by the way.
Yeah, Big Show.
Right, and then a Big Show, sorry, in WWF, and we're talking about 1999. And then he did this Boss Man angle, and Boss Man wrote a beautiful poem directed, I believe, mostly at Paul White's mother that he read to him. And it was just so, by the time he gets to the graveyard scene and the funeral thing, that got it so over, they actually, with Austin going out with a knee injury, decided, what the hell, let's just put the belt on babyface Big Show at the Survivor Series 99. And that's actually what they ended up doing. It was bait and switch at its worst, as Scott Keith said, but a babyface ended up with the belt. So that angle actually did work. And Big Boss Man is the only reason that worked, because he is such a fucking evil heel. Yeah. You know, feeding people their dogs, you know, shit like that. And if I might,
casket riding,
surfing caskets, you know, across a cemetery. I don't know. I mean, that's an artistic imagery that only evil Vince could come up with. You know, really, that really is the only thing. That reminds me of when I was younger in South Louisiana, where I'm from, all the graves came out of the ground in Dulac, Louisiana, because of the flooding, and the coffins went down the road and surfed down. It had a similar sort of look to that. And that's the sort of thing you won't forget. You know, and people always remember that about Big Boss Man. So he really did have a very interesting second act, because his first act, in with popularity, because I did watch him as Big Bubba in WCW and UWF, where he was actually the UWF champion. You know, I'm always talking about that Bill Watts promotion. But his run with Hogan, and I think it was 88, I might be my year off, but he made a lot of money on a run with Hogan when he did the typical big heel jumps. Hogan goes on a house show run tour. He made a whole lot of money. He was drawing money, and he drew money as a babyface too, especially in 92 when shit was down. He was still had a lot of heat. So there's a lot of history to Ray Traylor.
Well, like I said, I mean, I think he was a great heel, and I really appreciated his work in the ring, you know, for a big guy especially. But once again, just the fact that he was involved in, you know, several of the more interesting angles in the Attitude Era, especially with Big Show. And I think that really did help cement Big Show as a force in the WWF back then, as he was still very new to the company. But I think a lot of that was because of that whole thing. And I think, once again, you know that there is Vince McMahon's hands in the writing whenever someone is called a bastard on TV.
Well, Vince McMahon hates bastard. He hates the term bastard. I think he thinks he is a bastard.
I think he thinks he's one of the most derogatory terms that he can use on a person, is saying bastard.
Jericho said that, right?
Oh, Jericho said that. Shane said that.
We heard that. Yeah, that's where I heard it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think here is his Boss Man invaded the home of Big Show's mother and forced her on camera to admit her son was a bastard.
With a beautiful poem.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway, my hat's off to the legendary Boss Man being inducted posthumously into the WWE Hall of Fame. Of course, Ray Traylor died at the age of 41, September 22nd of 2004, in his home in Dallas, Georgia. So, but congratulations.
By the way, he really was a corrections officer in Cobb County, Georgia.
Yes.
So that's scary. That's scary thinking.
It really is. Well, the Hall of Fame continues to grow. Have you heard anything else about the WWE Hall of Fame inductees? Or
I heard that my favorite wrestler was for some reason being inducted. Stan the Lariat Hansen, the greatest wrestler I've ever seen, the greatest heel I've ever seen, Stan Hansen. Now, I watch all of his stuff from All Japan. Hey, buddy, he was in All Japan for 20 years. That's 10 years plus 10 more years, 20 years.
2 decades.
And he drove the whole time.
Oh.
And he made the most money, and he lost, I mean, a few times. When they finally put over Misawa all the way, when they finally put over Kobashi all the way, then he put them over. But not before he nearly beat these men to death. With literally just his hands. I mean, the stiffest son of a bitch you've ever seen. Just just vicious. You know, we talked about Vader. Vader tried to bully him at the beginning of a match. He popped the eye out of his head. He's like, no, don't be stiff.
Yeah, Stan Hansen. Stan Hansen couldn't see, but he could definitely lay a shit in. One thing I didn't know about Stan Hansen is he actually wrestled in our territory here in Tennessee, in Leroy McGurk's tri-state territory here.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know about Georgia. And well, go ahead.
Yeah, just and Leroy McGurk, booked this territory in the 70s. So I didn't know that. But then, of course, he actually went to Vince for a brief stint back in the late 70s.
Well, that's an interesting story, too.
Yeah.
Well, he went to feud with Backlund, and he wouldn't job.
Right.
Which is sort of his thing, right? And and Vince Sr. said, no, I need you to put over Backlund in the end of the feud in the cage in the garden. And he says, I'm not going to job because Giant Baba was his boss, okay? And Giant Baba said, you do not job. So Vince said, well, I'm booking you, so you do it. And he says, you don't understand. Giant Baba's my boss, not you. Yeah. And it was kind of like, whoa. So that's why there's not a lot of history with him with the WWE as a word. That's what makes this very interesting to me.
Well, that's interesting booking, to say the least. But you can experience a little bit of Stan Hansen on YouTube. There's some selected clips of Stan Hansen wrestling, the dangerous man that is known as Stan Hansen. Also, he did work for All Japan and WCW, believe it or not.
He feuded with Lex Luger.
Yeah.
And if you watch the first Halloween Havoc he comes out at, he's having his typical, he couldn't do his Japanese match. He's working with Luger, who had been over as a babyface and top heel for a while, and pins Luger relatively clean with his vicious clothesline, which is basically JBL's clothesline, except much more stiff, honestly. And he pins Luger clean, and the crowd's like, what? The crowd's shocked, but they don't know how Stan Hansen doesn't do jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the legend continues to live the way it is. Stan Hansen, one of the most,
stiffest
workers ever. But having said that, he had a small role, by the way, in No Holds Barred. Did you know that? Stan Hansen?
This is what I heard about No Holds Barred. Stan Hansen was supposed to be the villain in No Holds Barred, playing basically that character against Hogan. Mm-hmm. But I forget why they didn't go through with it, and they obviously they went with Zeus. Mm-hmm. And I believe that movie won some awards,
just some Razzies. We'll talk about Hulk Hogan later in the program, but
okay.
I wanted to at least kind of wrap that bow around it. But he played the Neanderthal. So if you happen to check out No Holds Barred on the WWE Network, which by the way, it is on the WWE Network.
Is it? I didn't know that.
No Holds Barred is on the WWE Network.
No, really, it won some award because, like, it's, Kurosawa and, Roman Polanski, that level of cinema is what you're looking at, and writing.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown, I would compare to Hulk Hogan and No Holds Barred. Five Easy Pieces, something of that
long. Oh, Lord, yeah.
I hate film snobs, but honestly, that movie is brutal. I'm lying. That movie's it's pretty brutally bad. It's bad.
Yeah, not bad for an $8 million movie distributed by New Line Cinema. But I digress. That's a TAS term, but I digress.
They lost a lot of money on that movie. Well, Vince lost money in that movie, and that started their relationship problems, if you look at it.
Oh, well, that's what happens when you have a really poorly written movie.
I'll just remember the line goes, Dookie! Yeah, that was actually the line from
it. That was the line from that.
Like, who's watching this? 5-year-olds?
Dennis Hacken. Yeah, he's the one who wrote it. Sorry, Dennis. Not the best.
We got to out you. Sorry, buddy.
All right. So anyway, the Wrestling Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame, he's got some new inductees, and that's great. But it's not, and that's great news. But the groundbreaking news is the fact that they will be breaking ground at Universal Studios Orlando, Steven.
Your favorite place.
One of my favorite places, Orlando, Florida. They're going to build an actual physical Hall of Fame. Is that right?
They're going to build a restaurant. They're going to have a Hall of Fame by it.
The WWE Orlando South, you know, that the New York restaurant was such a big hit back in the 90s.
Ooh, I think it lost $35 million. That's okay. Well, first of all, the announcement, of course, today was WrestleMania will be in Orlando next year.
Yes, so I think it's huge.
I think that's all sort of coincides. I know that Paul Levesque, who you may all know as the Babyface World Champion Triple H, I believe he's collecting memorabilia for it as we speak. He's actually quite a memorabilia collector. That's kind of what he's into anyway.
We know that the WWE has a huge archive, and that I'm sure some of the archive will be there in Orlando, apparently. But it's going to be replacing the NBA City attraction / restaurant that is actually moving to downtown Disney, aka Disney Springs. And so the WWE Hall of Fame will be at Universal City Walk. Very interesting indeed, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's been rumored for quite some time that they are citing Orlando for a Hall of Fame. Of course, the WWE Performance Center and Full Sails all down there in Orlando. It's really pretty much becoming the WWE headquarters south from Massachusetts. So,
well, you know, I know that they spent, as far as memorabilia, well over $750,000 to get Nick Bockwinkel's haircut.
Really?
Yep. That's like $800,000.
That's not bad. That's not bad. They got it on the cheap. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Hall of Fame. I'm also excited about the prospect of WrestleMania being in Florida's Citrus Bowl. And it says here, quote, from executive John Sabor in a stated story written by Brian Fritz, of course, our friend from Between the Ropes podcast, WWE says, quote, WWE very much looks forward to working again with the leaders throughout Central Florida to build a blueprint to welcome the world to Orlando for WrestleMania 33. And that's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, I think the next WrestleMania will have a much better card, you know, God willing. So it should be a really good one. Mm-hmm. And it should be a great event. I know that Orlando is a very interesting city. It's certainly come a long way in the past 20 years, you know, like a lot of cities, like our own Nashville has. So, yeah, and that's a good area to turn like those NXT guys loose too, you know. But, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know if that'll have a big bearing on anything, but yeah, that's cool. I'd like to go to a restaurant and be able to look at Harley Race's trunks while I eat a hamburger. That's awesome.
I want to see classy Freddie Blassie's cane. That's what I want to see.
What? I don't have a cane.
Pencil neck geek.
You got me all double twisted up inside.
That's it. Vince McMahon also spoke to Brian Fritz, as I mentioned, regarding that, and also talked about John Cena. Now, reportedly, John Cena is going to be out for WrestleMania 32. He's not on the card. He may make an appearance. I'm kind of thinking he may be, but Vince was quoted as saying, "John is Babe Ruth. He is everything to us," McMahon said, "and a real warrior. I don't know how long he's going to have, and I don't know how long he's going to pursue this. I don't know if he's going to be 70 like me, but he'll try. It's just in him, and he loves it so much, even when he was a little kid. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos where he'd have a mini championship belt made out of cardboard and all that kind of stuff, and on top of it, he's a one hell of a guy." Vince also talked about Shane McMahon returning. He says, quote, "It's been awesome," he said. "I was hoping that one day we might be able to get back together. It's difficult. Fathers and sons sometimes in the same business at a certain age can be very difficult. You love each other just as much, but you see things a little differently. You have the old bull and the young bull, and the old bull is not ready to give it up. His horns are still sharp. But it's great that Shane is back. Whether or not it's a corporate place, we'll just have to wait and see. From a performer standpoint, I also enjoy him performing with him. And when the three of us are out there, Stephanie, Shane, and me, throw in Paul, because that's what's happened in the past. And we could stay out there and entertain each other, much less the audience, for an hour. It would be easy. It's just so much fun. We can ad lib and we can entertain ourselves. I think if you're entertaining yourselves and you're having fun, that projects and the whole audience is having fun with you. That is a quote from Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Well, Shane McMahon is obviously the main event, the icon, the showstopper of this WrestleMania. It's really the guy they've pushed very hard. And I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like they've sold 20 to 30,000 tickets since the ticket sales really, I heard they were at 50,000 two or three weeks ago. And now they're at 80, we're about to talk about, I'm sure, they're at 84,000.
Well, we can go ahead and talk about that. I mean, WrestleMania is on pace for a quote-unquote sellout attendance. WWE always quotes attendance records, attendance meaning everyone in the building, not necessarily paid tickets, but I believe it will sell out.
Well, they've sold it out. They can only fit 85,000 humans besides themselves in it.
And that's just for a typical wrestling show.
Right. I mean, that stage is fucking huge, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the new attendance record. So that puts WrestleMania 3 third now. And then the Wembley Stadium SummerSlam show is second. And this one's number one. So they've broken the record. I know that's not the worked figure, but I assure you they'll say it's 97,000 or something when they're there, and then I will make it more of an official. But they have broken the record.
That's good. And you have to count the all the soda vendors, all the security, all the people there. You know, taking tickets, you have to take the gardener, you have to take the guy that cleans the toilets. I mean, just everybody is going to be counted in order for them to break their quote unquote record.
George Strait played that stadium last year and had over 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. Let's just be real clear that he's more popular than WWE.
Well, George Strait was there for his goodbye tour. That was his farewell tour.
The cowboy rides on.
But then again, the stage was also smaller, so they could accommodate more people. So we'll, you know.
My George Strait WWE feud continues.
Okay, that's fine.
Look, let's be happy they broke the record. And nobody really thought. I thought they were going to stop. Didn't I say I thought they were going to stop at like 67,000 or something and be screwed? You know, that happened to them once. They tried to go to L.A. Remember that old Gulf War? Well, the first one in 91. Oh, yeah. They went there. It was Hogan versus Slaughter. Now, I don't know about you, but I was not watching wrestling that year.
No.
That was not the most bought. Well, anyway, they tried to go to L.A. Coliseum or something like that, wherever USC plays. They wanted 100,000. Yep. Tickets stopped dead in their tracks at 10 or 12,000. And that's, you know, the whole story they souped up. And I'm sure Sergeant Slaughter had death threats playing in Iraqi, which was a dumb character, although very effective. So they had to move it to a smaller. So I thought, I didn't think it would be that bad, but. I mean, it spooked them forever. I know that.
Well, the thought process behind that was the fact that the United States government was not going to be able to provide adequate security for that venue due to the fact that we just went to war.
I think that's worked a little bit.
Perhaps.
But I think they would have had like 70,000 empty seats, possibly.
I do believe that. So there's probably a combination of both, but I do agree to some aspect that they weren't going to have adequate security for a public demonstration as large as that.
Well, listen, Sergeant Slaughter had Saddam Hussein's boots, and they were a gift. I don't know. Why would that? Did they think that was going to work? These boots were a gift from Saddam Hussein. It's like, stop right there. Can Paul Orndorff come out and do a match instead? Is that possible? Is he okay? Is his arm better? Can we do something different? I don't know. That just was not a really great WrestleMania. They came off the Ultimate Warrior Hogan one, and they went to that. But they made up for it. They had to go in the next year. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So let's talk about that. There's other wrestling news. I mean, of course, that's great. It's huge. Orlando is going to be a double whammy, and it's going to happen within a year. And I'm looking forward to it. And as soon as WrestleMania tickets are available, it's something Steven and I can talk about. It's on my bucket list. I want to go to WrestleMania. And ultimately, it would be great for us to be there at WrestleMania, whether it's with press or whether it's just us two. And we take our lady friends with us. So,
what will be the main event of WrestleMania next year? Roman Reigns against?
No.
You don't want to guess? I think if we get it right a year ahead of time, we sound really smart. And we've been good at predicting things.
I think the main event is going to be
Reigns Ambrose or Reigns Rollins. It's something Shieldy.
It's going to be Shieldy. I think it's quite possibly going to be Reigns Rollins WrestleMania.
That feels right. Rollins.
Reigns Rollins will probably do it, and it could possibly be Ambrose versus Undertaker for the retirement match. Or Wyatt. It could be Wyatt. You know, if they decide to figure out what's going on with Wyatt, because they're totally screwing with him, but that's a whole other ball of wax there.
They sound like they like him less than I do. Like, I made fun of him and cut that little promo, but they're they're the ones hurting him. Just talking.
I know. It's so sad, but I can see it. I think there's a possibility of definitely doing Rollins versus Reigns for the WWE Championship. There's a possibility Ambrose at this point. And, you know, by that time, it could be a very Balor Club looking situation next year. You know, it could be AJ Styles for the championship. In fact, it could very well be that. It could very well be that. You know,
you mean Bulletproof?
Could be Bulletproof, yeah.
That is not a good name.
No.
You know, I just want to clarify to everybody one more time listening to this, because I think there is some confusion for some reason still. I don't know why I even have to say this.
What's confusion?
Well, I'm just going to say this because I think some people get confused. The Bullet Club is in New Japan still. They're led by Kenny Omega, and they have a bunch of members. That's all I'm saying. It's real easy to understand. The Bullet Club is in Japan still. The first leader of the Bullet Club was Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Then you had AJ Styles.
And now
you got Kenny Omega, who I think is the best one they've had yet. But I just find a lot of people are like, the Bullet Club's going to be in WWE.
But I think
people, and I know you don't think this. I know you're very intelligent and smart and well-read, and you read correctly. And you have good reading comprehension, which I think may be the issue with some of these people. But there will not be a group called the Bullet Club, everybody coming from Japan to here. That's just not how copyright works. So just want to point that out.
That's right. The intellectual property belongs to New Japan.
And Kenny Omega is a better, well-rounded leader of a group than AJ Styles. That's just the way it is.
Well, he's a better mouthpiece for sure.
And he's not from America. He's from Edmonton. Just a few things. I just hear people saying things, and I'm like, hold on.
There's
the Bullet Club just saw him wrestle.
There's a few interesting articles that I clicked on, and I literally about Finn Balor and Bullet Club, and about the possibility of the stable transferring to WWE and taking over NXT, and quite possibly, this is my thought process. I believe that it's possible that during Smarkamania on Monday Night Raw that we will see Finn Balor show up in some semblance with Carl Anderson and Gallows, and everybody will just show up, and they may have a takeover. It could very well be a situation where Shane McMahon brings him in and does a hostile takeover, and Shane McMahon, you know, may not have control of Raw, but he may have control of SmackDown.
Okay, here are my three predictions.
So we're moving in predictions. Go ahead.
It's related to everything you just spoke.
Okay.
Shane McMahon will not be on TV after WrestleMania, I predict. The Bullet Club will be called Bulletproof. They'll just be a tag team called Bulletproof, and they won't. And they'll be over a little bit, and then they'll squash them. And then Nakamura, they won't push at all. And then we'll realize it was all a fucking trick to hurt New Japan to make the number two company in the world weakened so that they can have more international control. Then it'll all be obvious. Now, if that happens, then that's what they did. If they push Nakamura and he's the IC champion and goes undefeated for a year, and he's like the Macho Man or something. Boy, was I wrong. But I think that's what they're up to.
God, wouldn't that be great?
But it won't happen. He's going to feud with... I'll say this. They've protected AJ. They've protected AJ, if you really look at it. He's.
What do you think about that? That happened on Monday Night Raw. You had Y2AJ coming out. They do a tag team thing, I think. And, you know, they come out. New Day ends up having Big E give a blockbuster to, or whatever, they do a little suplex to Chris Jericho. He gets pinned clean. 1, 2, 3. Jericho does the job. New Day walks out making fun. And then Chris Jericho gets all full of spite and hatred and gives a code breaker, not once, but twice, but what was it? 2-3 times at least on AJ Styles, and shoving the brand new t-shirt available at WWEshop.com. Literally they put on sale that like a day or two before. And Now they're like putting it on clearance. It's like
good swerve though. I mean, I thought putting good swerve. No, it was a good swerve to do it. I mean, I saw it coming. I think like everyone, no, good angle. I mean, this is their fourth match. Okay. Whatever. AJ looks like he's progressed as a worker, so maybe now he has that knockout match we thought he was going to have on that first Raw.
That was still a great match, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I just seen AJ have a match with Nakamura that really blew me the fuck away.
Yeah, that was like last week on New Japan on Access.
Well, that one too. Well, that's a different one. That's the two matches they've had, and they're both fucking...
They're bad. I mean, they're badass.
The best shit ever. Well, I mean, not the best shit ever, but pretty damn... So my point is AJ Styles is now on the active roster. He's being protected and he's gotten used to the ring and he's having a big, pretty high profile-ish match with Jericho, maybe fourth or fifth.
He's going to WrestleMania.
He's going to be in front of the biggest crowd of all time. He's going to probably go over clean on Chris Jericho. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Exactly.
Did we think that was going to happen in December? Not really.
No.
So maybe I'm completely wrong. I just don't think Vince is smart enough to push a Nakamura. Maybe he watches him and just sees all. If he gives him 30 minutes and lets him do his thing against Zayn, and I'm sure it'll be a Dallas Takeover watching.
It will
maybe,
be.
Maybe he'll get it. Maybe he'll get what we get, but I don't know.
Well,
I'm so nervous about this crap.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you had other predictions in regards to WrestleMania? Other than what I was telling you about Smarkamania next year and WrestleMania next year, and then what's going on this year for Balor Club. Now I'm doing it.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, some people actually think the Bullet Club themselves has left Japan completely and is coming to the United States.
What do you know about the Young Bucks? Are they actually... I know they're being supported by WWE, but they signed with New Japan for like another year or two, did they not?
The Young Bucks signed a 2-year contract with Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, okay.
In November, I think, and it's a very good contract for Ring of Honor, and within that realm specifies they do 10, but usually they do 20 dates with New Japan, and so that the New Japan is loaded within the Ring of Honor contract, and they get paid by both. But since they have such a good working relationship, that's why that works. So no, Young Bucks won't be there anytime soon.
People are talking about it like, oh, the Young Bucks are going to come over. I'm like, no, they're not.
Who said that? See, that's what I'm talking about.
There are some really shoddy wrestling journalists out there saying stuff.
They just signed the contract and it was all over their Twitter. All you can do is follow them on Twitter, actually.
This is an article I clicked on today. It was perfect for this show. And I'm just like, this is so wrong. Like, I can't even finish this article. Because they specifically said, oh, this is Bullet Club coming over to WWE. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Young Bucks they don't want to be in WWE. Yeah. I mean, they tried to go there. They got, you know, Booker T was mean to them and all. They're not the type of team that would do well in WWE because their whole idea is we're the silliest version of a spot, you know, show, a spot monkeys, as they call themselves, possible. So they take it all the way in the other direction. It's almost like an experiment within the confines of being a poor worker who does too many spots. So they flaunt it and act silly and do catchphrases from Shawn Michaels from 97. And it's and they're very funny, and they know that they're in on their own joke they make about themselves, and
that's their parody. Yeah.
Yeah. So they know what they're doing, and they know they're not having a psychology fest 30-minute match like the Midnight Express. They're doing a Young Bucks match, and they're doing super kicks. They're going, suck it. And, you know, that's what the Young Bucks do. So that wouldn't work, you know, in that other – that wouldn't work in that other situation.
In this WWE universe.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we're on the road from fast lane to the roadblock, more like a speed bump. And a very interesting night of WWE programming that's happening this weekend, March 12th, 8 p.m. on the WWE Network, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Roadblock is going to be an interesting card. And let's go over the card really yes. quick. Ambrose versus... I'm sorry. Hold on. I had it right here. For heaven's sake, I had it all prepped up and then like...
Oh, my God. I know Dean Ambrose is going to win the title, and they're going to change the WrestleMania main event on the fly by him beating Triple H clean, and Triple H will go off of TV forever.
Well,
that was weird.
The main event is Ambrose versus Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship. I have to say that, you know, once again, I really do appreciate Dean Ambrose's work on the microphone over the past few weeks. I mean, his character is really starting to get there. It's starting to build, and the crowd seems to be behind him, unlike mm-hmm. Roman Reigns. But they've done their very best to try to make him a character that has a lot of heart. And he's edgy in a way that he is, you know, he's willing to throw his life out there, you know, in terms of defeating Triple H. So,
you know, he does a lot of jobs, but they've pushed him well in a way too. Maybe they accidentally did that. The crowd's solidly behind him. He is the number one baby face. Well, behind Lesnar, kind of, who's supposed to be a heel. And, you know, there's all this kind of confusion with the booking and the logic and the storylines and everything and the perception of the fans versus their writing. But the fact of the matter is, biggest WrestleMania ever, got to make Triple H a strong heel. So Triple H beats the babyface's best friend, Dean Ambrose, and he beats him relatively clean. You could have Lesnar get involved in some way to set up their match. But if I know Triple H, if I know that evil Triple H, he'll pin him clean with a pedigree and we'll all go, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. He's going to be the sacrificial lamb in order to help build the main event for WrestleMania. But the lambs are not just in the form of a Dean Ambrose. Let's talk about this little lamb, Bray Wyatt. He is going to be wearing the lamb mask. I believe he's going to be a sacrificial lamb fed to Brock Lesnar in order to prepare him for WrestleMania, as there's no real clear writing or direction for Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, to my knowledge, unless I'm missing something, Steven.
There is no clear direction for Bray Wyatt or the Wyatt family right now. To my knowledge, they don't know what to do. He'll put him over clean, I bet. You know, they're concentrating on six people. Triple H, Reigns, Ambrose, actually, who they don't mind jobbing, Lesnar, Undertaker, Shane. Everyone else is spoiled for that. Wyatt will do a job. God. You know, he'll F5 that cute, lovable little teddy bear Braun Strowman.
Oh Lord!
And he'll throw him about, and he might get really scared like he did during the Royal Rumble. Mm. I know what I saw. He's like, if you made a bear out of him, I could give it to my wife for Easter, and it would be like a really nice present. She'd go, this is so cute and not scary looking at all.
WWE has also recently posted that there is a match. Now, you saw these two team up in the latest episode of the road trip?
They're riding a car?
Yeah, were they riding a car?
No, I've been watching it, but
it's great.
So road trip.
I don't know.
They're in the car talking.
So the road trip is hitting roadblock. We're talking about the road trip of the International House of Pancakes. We're talking about Barrett and Sheamus versus New Day for the tag team championships. Yes. And by the way, International House of Pancakes is trending worldwide in terms of.
Really?
Oh, that's terrible. No, I'm just making up terms.
Oh, I thought people were making fun of them that much.
The League of Nations. Hey, look, I think the International House of Pancakes is a much better term for the League of Nations.
It's more over.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, it's like a Denny's breakfast, but, you know, at an IHOP. So,
well,
who do you think is going
to? That's a really interesting way to put that.
So, yeah, we talked about how we both agree that Ambrose is going to be the sacrificial lamb, that Bray Wyatt's going to be the sacrificial lamb for Brock. In this case, I believe that the League of Nations is somehow going to do the job.
I had heard that New Day was facing the League of Nations at WrestleMania in a way to turn New Day babyface permanently. So they've now moved that match to this card. That's all I know. I don't know what any of it means. I know New Day is supposed to be babyfaces by the time we hit Smarkamania Raw, and League of Nations was supposed to help them do that. What a piss poor fucking stable. Not just like the writing of it or who we don't like or who the crowd, just like the, like how many matches they've lost and how shitty they come across on TV and how they're a lackey for a guy and just the shittiest stable ever. Just the shits. It's like almost as bad as like the New Blood or something. Like it's at that level of bad. I don't know if it's that bad.
Well, here's something else that's interesting. Also at Roadblock, another team of tag teams will be defending their championships as the Revival will be, the champs will be meeting up with Amore and Cassidy. How about that?
Really weird.
That's weird, right?
I don't know. I thought Amore and Cassidy were on their way up. People kept reporting they'll be there tonight. It's like, you know, that's why I only read one source for any kind of rumor, you know, because when it's a rumor on a website, you can flip a coin. You can guess yourself if it's going to happen. But that being said, I don't think that I'm not sure how good they'll do on the main roster.
Well, this might be a test.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what this is. This is some sort of test. By the way, the Revival. I mean, come on. What kind of
name? What a horrible name. I mean, I like Dash and Dawson better than the Revival. That just sounds horrible. It's
just Dash and Dawson. That's their names.
Yeah.
They're friends.
I don't know. I mean, that's just horrible.
Like Doug Furness and Phil LaFon.
Yeah, sure. Why the hell not? All I know is that I'm all about Carmella, so we'll just leave it at that.
you have a lot of hoes on that NXT show. Have you noticed that? I'm so sorry. Why did
I call her a hoe? Don't call her a hoe.
No, I mean hoes in general. Just lots of different hoes. Not her in general. Just there's a lot of.
Bailey's not a hoe.
I'm sorry.
Send all hate mail to Dr. Deathmark on Twitter.
No, I was trying to make my wife upset.
Oh, she's sitting right next to you. The
she is. She's cute.
So at any rate, I think that Amore and Enzo will end up quite possibly getting the tag team NXT tag team championship. So they might go back and forth for a little bit. What do you think about that?
You know, the dividing line between a diva and a hoe to me would be if you can cut a promo real good. I just wanted to be specific.
Okay.
Now, what was your question?
Who goes over at Roadblock?
Donner
and Blitzen.
Because
the world's greatest tag team.
The world's greatest tag team, Benjamin and Haas. Because they'll probably go to the main roster and might actually leave that hoe back in NXT. I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Damn.
I'm on. Damn. I took the two Cokes.
Oh, Lord.
They've already made their sacrifice.
They've made the sacrifice.
Stuff the plane into a nosedive, Alton.
Kick the cockpit door down. Take the two parts that have already made the sacrifice.
I'm just going to get clips of just random, you know, wrestling clips and just insert them into the show for tonight.
You might as well. Is that not the best promo ever?
The Warrior?
Like, how did he
take the plane into a nosedive?
I'm going to cut a promo. Okay, this is the main promo for your match with Hogan and Mania. We got Toronto 60,000. Okay, I'll cut a promo where I say I'm going to take control of his plane and crash it. Because that'll sell the last 20,000 seats.
Hey, well, anyway.
Why? What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I was just curious if, you know, oh, gosh. Speaking of wrestling, I just got a text from our friend Benji.
Oh, what did Benji Brown have to say?
For heaven's sake. He's with my wife at the Adam Lambert concert.
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, wow. Where's Adam playing tonight?
I think Adam's, I think he might be at the arena, maybe.
Are you, see, Adam's got the arena?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
I tell you, Adam Lambert, what a great singer. At any rate, let's go ahead and wrap up this puppy. Do we have any other news that we need to talk about?
My Naomi Toyota once stiffed an 8-year-old in the face.
Oh, my gosh. So,
I forgot to mention that.
Funny to bring that up. I don't understand why fully grown adults wrestle children in Japan.
DDT is a very weird promotion. I'm glad you brought this up. You know, people are really interested in that viral Joey Ryan clip where someone is holding onto his cock. Oh, that reminds me. We should talk about Hulk Hogan. Where someone is holding onto his cock and he does a... Okay, first of all, that wrestling character is a gay wrestling character.
King of Dong style.
Yeah, not Joey, but the I can't remember his name.
The other guy. I'm sorry. I don't know his character.
And his persona is to grab people by their dong, and this obviously surprises them, right? And throws them off, and he can take advantage in the match. So Joey Ryan was like, do that, and then I'll like do like this and Hulk up from the move, so to speak. And that's where that went viral. DDT does that sort of thing. They've had several matches featuring Kota Ibushi where he would be outside doing matches like all along, like the kind of like the like if the Steve Austin Booker T grocery store brawl was like filled with like Neville technical flips and shit. You know, it's really weird. And Kota Ibushi would do this, and Kenny Omega always wanted to wrestle in Japan, and he did some tapes of himself wrestling outside with people like that and cut promos on Kota Ibushi saying he wanted to come to DDT Pro in Japan and fight him. And that's how Kenny Omega ended up kind of in Japan and got over. And then they were the first to do matches with little girls. And I was talking earlier about how Manami Toyota had done a match with a little girl just like Kenny Omega did. But in her match, she decided to stiff the 8-year-old girl in the head with a boot. I thought that Manami Toyota may be the best wrestler in the world, or maybe it was Misawa or Kenta Kobashi, and I guess you could make a case for Ric Flair if you wanted to, maybe, or even a Nick Bockwinkel or a Ray Stevens. And then when I saw her stiff the little girl, I said to my wife, I said, I think I just saw a clip of Manami Toyota kick a little girl really hard in the head. I said, I'm going to rewind this YouTube clip, and if that's what this is, then I've decided she's the best wrestler in the world. And I rewound it, and that's what I saw. And that's why I think she's honestly the best worker in the world. It's very hard to find that clip, by the way. You know, I would probably need to be able to speak Japanese. But anyway, that's the DDT promotion in a nutshell. They do very interesting things like that, and that's where Kota Ibushi kind of got kind of big. You know, we all know Kota did the amazing Nakamura match, won our match of the year, and a few other publications matches of the year as well. So that's where the wrestling little girls thing comes from.
Interesting.
And yeah, Kenny Omega's little girl match is pretty, my wife said, sweet and weird.
It's strange.
It's very bizarre. But I mean, they popped the crowd. The crowd get going.
Young Bucks did it.
Yeah, sort of, but this is like a full-on match, you know, like they're doing spots and you know, they go five or six minutes. Can we talk about Hulk Hogan and his?
Okay. All right. So if you check out Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, you'll notice that I put up the live feed of Gawker, and you can click that link and then you can check out the entire thing transpiring court. I'm not watching it, just so you know. But
oh, it's a scumbag.
Someone that is paying attention to it would be our very own Stephen Anthony. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Gawker case.
Well, as you and all of our listeners know, I hate Hulk Hogan. So I was. But as it turns out, the editors of Gawker are actually even more of scumbaggish somehow, and they're looking like complete shit. They played tape of a 3-year-old testimony from their editor at the time, AJ Delirio, that made the most awful comments I've ever heard any human make, and they were literally biting their nails in the courtroom, literally, as they played it. I won't say what they said. You can look it up on your own. It's vile. But what I can tell you is this, and I find it really interesting.
Oh, Lordy.
That, you know, when they brought up that Hulk Hogan was on the Howard Stern show and said he had a foot-long dong or a 10-inch-long cock, that he answered, well, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis, but Terry Bollea does not. Now, it actually made a couple of front-page internet websites, because it's such a bizarre phrase. But you know, here's the thing, man, this is why I love wrestling. I'm a pretty smart guy. I analyze life in a really analytical way, and that's how I go about my business, right?
Okay.
And that's why I love wrestling, because it's like performance art. Oh, it's performance art. Yeah, it's performance art. Oh, it's like being a method actor. Yeah, it's like being a method actor. If you would happen to be doing that 95% of the time you are alive. That's a staggering thought. And that's what Hulk Hogan was admitting. I'm always on the work. I'm always working. When I leave my house, I'm Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan has no privacy. Terry Bollea is very little alive. Ric Flair will say, Richard Flair, I'm not Richard Flair anymore. He turned in to Ric Flair. I think all of us in our lives really do become the character that we play. You know, the person I am in my own private life is pretty different, because I show it to one person only. Okay? And I'm actually a lot different. And Hulk Hogan had to actually admit that on the stand and say, I'm always pretending to be someone else at every fucking moment that you are around me or see me or hear about me or see me walk out of my house. I don't have a 10-inch cock. Hulk Hogan does. It's pretty trippy. And that's why wrestling is the most interesting fucking thing in the world to me.
He still lives in the world that kayfabe exists.
He is the ultimate kayfabe guy in an era where kayfabe isn't supposed to exist. When Lex Luger made his Nitro debut in 95, Luger made like a little joke in the ring while they were in the middle of commercial break. So Luger makes his debut, they take a commercial break, now they're in the ring to cut a promo. In the midst of the commercial break, Luger makes a joke, and Hogan says, don't you ever fucking do that. Don't you ever break character on me again like that. And he had to apologize. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, don't ever, you're costing me fucking money. Don't ever break character at any moment when you're around me. You know, and he's old school like that. The Sheik was old school like that. People still think the Sheik was the Sheik, you know, and he was playing a weird fire throwing guy named the Sheik, but people think that he's the Sheik to this very moment. And that's how you make money with wrestling. Like, you and I watch Jake the Snake, right?
Mm-hmm.
We feel like Jake the Snake might be a little bit like Jake the Snake, right?
Because, oh, yeah.
Always on the work, you know? Macho Man's a great example.
Exactly.
That's when wrestlers were a little bit better, man. That's the thing. You know, Roman Reigns can only play the nice Roman Reigns. Well, everybody, you know, that's where he's coming across this way. He's not interesting enough on TV, but he's playing himself. Cena actually is the best at it, if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. Always on the work, always nice John Cena, never breaking character. But clearly deep in his mind, most likely an evil sociopath working his soul.
Well, you know, who else was even working, believing his own gimmick? I mean, I think Bret Hart did a lot of that. I think that...
Oh, God, he's Goldberg, the
worst. Goldberg did a lot of that himself.
Yeah.
In the WWF... You know, for a long, long time, Steve Austin, I think, was like that. But I think, and of course, Undertaker, he's never very rarely seen outside of, doing that one commercial, I think, for Harley Davidson that he did. But I think very rarely has he ever done anything outside of character.
Very rarely.
You know, and I think that's a little bit what hurt Sting a lot of times, is that he wouldn't do what Cody Rhodes is doing now with Stardust, you know, which is basically everywhere he goes, he's being Stardust, except for that one time in the Edge and Christian show, which was hilarious.
That was phenomenal. Everyone needs to watch it.
Which is great. But it's protecting a character, especially over social media. Randy Orton doesn't do a whole lot of tweeting at all because he likes to protect his character. You know, if he's being an evil son of a bitch, he wants to make sure people buy into the fact that he's being evil. Right. So,
but Hulk Hogan's point is, when he goes to the grocery store, he's in character. And and that's how he's trying to win that $100 million. He's saying, "No, you broke Terry Bollea's privacy, not Hulk Hogan's." That's sort of the I don't know who will win the money. I don't know what'll happen, but boy, is it interesting. Also, there are some interesting TNA question answer stuff with Hulk Hogan. Questions like, "What is TNA? Is TNA still in business?" You know, things like that. That they're really, you know, TNA's. It's really still a very sad, sad situation, and this just intensified the sadness for me.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of you know, stuff going on. Roadblock, like I said, is happening this weekend. We're just a few weeks away from WrestleMania, and how the card is shaping up is quite interesting. It looks like for the most part, the Fed is going to be treading a little bit of water now that we already know what all is taking place. And for me, it seems to me like, even though Roadblock is happening, I don't think anything's going to happen to Roadblock at all.
It's a roadblock.
You went from Royal Rumble to Fastlane, from Fastlane to this roadblock, and Triple H is right. It's more like a speed bump than it is a roadblock, according to Triple H.
Yeah, nice job doing a shoot like that, Triple H. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that took a lot of creativity there, Paul. But then you have, you know, WrestleMania, and I like how Dean Ambrose had basically said, everyone thinks that the road to WrestleMania is already set. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm going to take the belt away from Triple H. The championship is going to be mine, and this. And I'm like, I want to believe you, but I don't.
Right.
The writers are not going to allow it.
You know, and people go, what if they did a one-night title? They wouldn't do that. It doesn't.
Why?
And people are like, well, maybe Reigns won't make, but he's not been on TV. Well, they just don't want him to get booed in Chicago and Philly, you know, all these places.
Here's a question for you, completely off before we do our tribute. What is going on with Lana?
Lana was very hesitant to wrestle. Lana went through what I perceive, this is just my feeling, a punishment period for screwing up the angle.
Yes.
And,
it screwed up a lot of people. It screwed up Dolph Ziggler. It screwed up, you know, Rusev, her fiance, her, and Summer Rae. I mean, it's a lot.
She screwed up Rusev bad. Screwed up Rusev bad. And they're training her how to wrestle. So she did what's the X Factor called?
Yeah, but Brie X Factor.
Is it still called that? The Brie Factor?
Yeah, whatever. They're doing Brie mode, whatever.
The work rate factor. And, you know, did the move. And, you know, it looked fine. But they're training her how to wrestle to set up some sort of Lana, I guess, Brie match that they cannot do at WrestleMania. Although I will say, I did hear they were going to add another women's match at WrestleMania. I don't really know what it'll be. I don't think it's that, because from what I hear, she's not ready to wrestle. But she is training to wrestle something she didn't want to, but I think she had to give in. I think this was something they just I mean, she had so much heat, and then they punished her, and then they went back to her and asked her to wrestle maybe, and she finally agreed to do it. But I don't know. They bought a really expensive house in Franklin, so they better start doing good again, because they're not going to be able to afford it.
I think this is about making amends, if you will, getting back into the good graces of the writers and Carano and everybody else that's in charge.
Well, she is a firecracker, and she ain't no ho, and that was kind of what she was proving to them. Like, don't give me all that shit. You know, I'm in love with this guy, huh? She's an ex ballerina.
Yes.
Okay. So she has a little bit more respect for herself than some of the other thing that the people that came before her. So she's like, I'm in love with this guy. You're not fucking with me getting married. That's what I'm doing. If you want to punish me, go ahead. You know, and I think she has a lot of guts for doing that, honestly. You know, not just because I saw him walking around one day and realized how in love they really were in real life. But just in the fact that she's like, I believe in this, and I'm not going to let your, you know, this evil company screw that up. But now she has to try to make some money.
Well, you know, you know, when you have a public, you know, social media account and you tweet the fact that you're breaking storyline by introducing a real element where you're typically promoting yourself, putting yourself and the company and your other projects over, that just means, hey, you know.
Hey, listen, though. And I thought that for a long time, and then I realized this: double standard. You can't have Triple H breaking someone's fucking face and then going and helping little kids the next day on TV, talking about being a Goodwill ambassador, this and doing that, doing charity work. Or getting the shit beat out of you by Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw, and then the next day you're in NXT like nothing's wrong. It's a double standard. He does
so
the same
thing. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been meaning to say it now for weeks.
Great.
Because I filled out a survey for the WWE Network.
You filled out another survey.
I filled out another survey.
Okay.
And they said, you know, what did you think about the Susan G. Komen commercials and these different things? And I definitely put the fact that I really appreciate the fact that they're doing charitable things, that they do such a great job of putting these packages together. But why is it important that Stephanie McMahon, as a heel character on TV, be promoting a group and be front and center when they can pick any other face, any other good guy character, baby face,
Roman Reigns,
to talk about it, even a female?
Yeah.
Their most over female they have, and probably the best baby face they have built, is the Last Kicker. You know, I mean,
yeah, now we give her a higher level of whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Or Nikki Bella, anybody like that.
Yeah. Or anyone. I mean, Becky Lynch is, for me, the biggest baby face they have on the roster right now, the best built babyface. I'm not saying that physically, because I do like Becky Lynch. I think she's very attractive and a great worker. But what I'm saying is that they built her character to such a degree where it all makes sense. And you're absolutely correct about having a double standard, you know, and
that's a double standard. It's just plain and simple. It's just plain and simple, you know. Dolph Ziggler walking around with Nikki Six makeup on. He's like, hey, I don't break character, you know. Well, you know, you don't have anything invested into your whole life that's going to be happening in the next year. And then you want to do something like this. And then they're telling you not to tell people you're getting married or to put off your wedding. What kind of fucking company is that? Some evil shit going on. She should have took the snake oath. Just like Jake the Snake and Monty. Did you watch that?
Not yet.
Okay, let me tell everyone what happened, because we're getting too serious. Look, no, I have to say this, because I've been talking about it all week.
Okay.
I said the greatest angle of all time was Macho Man getting bitten by the King Cobra, right?
Right.
Jake the Snake, I just saw this on Hannibal TV, which is a great YouTube series of shoots. Jake the Snake said that he was backstage, and Macho Man said, you did. What's going on with that snake? Because we're doing the thing tonight, so they got something wrong with it. And Jake's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe the snake didn't have the venom taken out. Maybe you did something to the snake. And he's like, what are you crazy? He's like, no, actually, what I would really like for you to do is get bit by the king cobra first. And then when we go out, I'll get bit by it. And he's like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, I'm really fucking serious. And if you don't do it, then we're going to have a problem. So he got bit by the king cobra backstage, and then they went out and did the angle. He took a snake oath.
That's freaking amazing.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard about anybody.
I've heard you told me about it, but I didn't watch it yet.
Right. Well, I said, you need to watch this because it's the snake oath.
Oh,
and Lord. Then he said, quote, paintbrushed the snake before he put it on Macho Man. And then when he put it on him and he wouldn't get off, he was like, oh, shit, I got the snake really mad. Because he said Macho Man had told him, bring the snake over. It'll bite my arm, and then bring it off, and then bring it back again. That'll be really good. And then he said he couldn't get it off. So he sat down Piper and Elizabeth. They're like, get the snake off of him. He's like, I can't. The fucking snake's gone crazy. He got the snake off, and he turned back around to maybe go back. And he goes, what do you, and Macho Man goes, get the fucking snake away from me. Get it off. We're good.
I love it.
Paintbrushed a snake. Snake oaths backstage.
How much is an espresso?
I don't know, about two espresso shots. Is that
Well, I was just pulling up the steak oath here on my video. I was just like, wow, this is just great.
Yeah. No. He takes the snake oath. He gets bitten by King Cobra. And Macho Man says, you're getting bit by the King Cobra. I'm going to fight you. And let me tell you something, guys. And this is, you can say allegedly if you want. He will pull out a handgun on you if he has a problem.
Okay.
That's no problem for him.
Let us wrap up this program, shall we?
Take the snake oath.
We have come a long way.
Take the two pilots.
We have come.
Take the two,
take the two pilots.
Take the two.
Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice.
Help me out here, Steve.
He says.
This is supposed to be a solemn moment.
I know. He says. So what you did to the snake, you did something to the snake? I just think that's great. Like, what? He said, I did something? Are you going to get bitten by a poisonous snake and die so I can win the title?
Oh, Lord.
He goes, stranger things have happened. Mm. But I don't think stranger things have happened, really, when I think about it. Hayabusa, this is the ultimate testament to him. I'm going to somehow get this on the right track.
Okay.
When Hayabusa got paralyzed, FMW died. It was over, and it didn't take 12 months. Mm. He was that important. So,
well, that definitely. So we're going to wrap up with the tribute to Hayabusa, the Japanese promo. Once again, we appreciate you downloading and subscribing to the show every single week. All of our listeners from show number one to you listening right now, could be a new listener, could be a old school listener of the show or watcher of our webcast. I'm just so glad that you decided to spend some time with us. From the bottom of my heart, this is a passion project. I absolutely enjoy the time I spend with Steven every single week talking about wrestling, my old friend. And it means so much that you download the show and you like the show. And I get messages from my friends saying, hey, look, this is a great show. I don't even enjoy wrestling, but I got back into wrestling because of your podcast. That means a whole lot.
Wow.
So thank you for that. And having said that, let's go ahead and wrap this puppy up. And Steven, where can people see you on the internet?
I hide on the internet, but you can find me at Dr. Death. You can find me at Dr. Deathmark on Twitter.
By the way, very funny stuff. You put up a very interesting profile picture of yourself on Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
And was it Twitter and Facebook?
You made a picture for me.
So it looked very sinister. I looked at you and I said, what is going on here? And I can't find it now, but it's like...
I have a new profile pic. If you look at the profile pic I have, that's the actual picture where how it started. I said it's George Strait and Undertaker combined, and that's what I look like in... And you made a picture of me and George, not George Strait, Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks, yeah.
I got George Strait in mind these days. It was me.
So funny.
I was just talking to someone very famous yesterday, but it wasn't Garth Brooks. But it was me. I can't reveal who it is. I'm not allowed. It was me, Undertaker and then Garth Brooks all on a black canvas, and you made the picture for me and sent it to me, and I really appreciate it. The three of us all are friends.
It is so funny. But anyway, I decided to do a post, which was hilarious. Yeah. Putting all three of those pictures together, trying to, like, you know, fix it so that it looked kind of angular. But
we anyway. Look very similar. Was that the Thunder Rolls period or something?
That was I think that was Chris Gaines period.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one bad album out of a whole career ain't a big deal.
You can also follow me at P Wrestling Cast. That's P Wrestling Cast. Twitter. You can also do Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. You can follow me, Al John Rocks, and Jedi Mouseketeer, too. We've got a few other podcasts and stuff that I do for Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fans there. WDW Teak Room, also WDW After Dark, and be sure to check those out as well. So we're wrapping up the show. Here's our Hayabusa tribute. Enjoy that. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head.
Promo of the week.
It was kind of short, but it's a very beautiful, it's just a very beautiful moment. Anyone want, if you know, I'll actually give it out. It's a guy named Jojo LaParca has it up. You know, I don't know if it'll stay up, but, you know, it's probably the property of whomever in Japan, but from September 2nd, 2015, I'm sorry, it said from August of 2015. It's the most amazing thing to happen in wrestling all of last year.
Yeah, it's,
I wish I had the English transcript of it too. It's really a very powerful moment, but everyone should go watch the whole clip. Just, you know, search like Hayabusa, you know, unassisted, gets up from wheelchair. It's very powerful, moving, beautiful thing.
It really is. And, you know, the spirit of a true legend, athlete, performer, he will be greatly missed. So definitely check that out. We'll see you next time. Take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.